Good morning. Today I'll be reading Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to him, "The Lord in a vision." Ananias, he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire the house of Judas, for one is called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard but many of this man. How much evil hath he done to thy saints at Jerusalem? And here he held authority from the chief priests to bind him at all call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is choosing vessel unto me, to bear my name, therefore, the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will shew him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee, in the way how camest, he has sent me, thou mightiest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost."
Good job. Thank you. Good morning. Again, it is good to see everyone today. I wanted to share something with you, and I want to be clear that this is a preacher story. It is a fable that I'm going to share with you, okay? It's about a colt, a donkey colt. You see, there was a donkey colt who was exceptionally good. He was exceptionally strong. He was exceptionally obedient. His human owners took a great deal of care for him, and why he just thought he was somebody, because he was kind of special. He did exactly what he was asked to do, and he was stronger than others that were his age. So it was no surprise to him that one day he was called out for a special job. He was taken out of the stable, and there some blankets were placed on his back. And he walked a little ways, and then someone was placed on his back. Now, the reason why he was, because among all of these things, he's also someone who was exceptional at giving rides to humans. So he gave special smooth rides. And for this particular human, they placed him on his back, and he took him a long ride. And as he walked through the city, why, people came from everywhere. They were throwing palm leaves in front of him. They were shouting praises to this one. And he thought he was really somebody special. And then when he got to the end of his ride, the human was taken from his back. And he noticed that all the praises and the accolades were following the human. That it had nothing to do with him. So he decided that since everyone thought it was such a big deal for that human to have been on his back, and that human, by the way, had ridden on those blankets, right? And that human that was so special, that had come in contact with those blankets, the colt would go into the city. And there he would try to draw attention to himself because he had the blankets. You see, he had something that looked like the human, which, by the way, we all know who I'm talking about, right? That was Jesus that was riding on his back. And he thought it was something special because of him. So he decided he would go and put blankets on his back and get attention because of the blankets. And guess what? As the fable goes, people came from everywhere. You see, they were even bowing down to the blankets, the representation of the message, but the message had been gone all the while. Do you see where I'm going? Sometimes we can forget it's about us. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and his message. And when we take things that represent that message and go off in our own way, oh, we can attract a great deal of attention. We can wave those things and get people to look at us. But when we don't have the message, it doesn't matter. We're distanced from God. And this morning, as we think about that, I say these things as we enter into this study because we need to be those who are thinking carefully about these things as we continue our study this day. Because we need to remember carefully, it is not about us. But if we're going to realize it's not about us, that's a great thing, but what do I do about that? How do I make a change? How do I do something differently? We're going to find at least three things that are built into today's text that help us understand that we need to cling to message and not to something that represents it or something, some other doctrine or some other thing that looks close to it, but we need to hold on to the true, genuine message of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that we have a need for Him and we need to get going. That's all we can do. We need to get going. And you know what else? We need to understand very carefully that when we get going, the devil is going to do everything he can to knock us down. So we need to expect exposure when it comes to the challenges of this life. But what motivates us to keep on going? The knowledge of the compensation of the promise that God has given us of that place called heaven. You know, today we call getting rewarded for our work compensation. We need to take confidence in the compensation that gives us this day. So where do we begin? But we get going. We get started today, and oftentimes we know that we need to get going. We know that we need to make a change, but sometimes we have difficulty getting there. You know, at the first of the year, you can go to a gym and you can see the parking lot's packed in full. January, you can't get in that place. And then February, why? Well, it's a little easier. And by this month, oh, it's no problem at all. Because even when we know we need to make a change, we can get going and we can lose our enthusiasm, or we can lose our way. It can be for a variety of reasons. And as we look at this today, I believe that when I see you, I see a go-get-it kind of person. You know, Paul was a get-going kind of guy. And we know that nobody really wants to live a life with no purpose. But for many of us today, many of us as adults, our purpose is our work. You know, I can do my best at work, and still, in most jobs, not all, but in most jobs today, we can be rewarded for hard work. They tell me how dependable I am. Oh, it feels good, and I can go the extra mile just about every day. And good work is often followed by good pay, and often that means that when there are other things that happen, good work is rewarded sometimes by just being able to keep my job. Now Saul, later called Paul, by the way, he was a go-get-it kind of guy too. He was a tent maker as well as being a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a man that was tops in his field. He was trained by the best. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who, by the way, was the greatest of all of the teachers, arguably, in the day. Now, young people, hear me. I know that you're go-get-it kind of people, too. I know that you are. Really, you are. Oh, some of you may not be early risers like some, and I did say some, of us older folks. But I know that there are things that interest you. It might be academic things at school. And some of you are looking at me like, nah. And I understand that it might be athletics. It might be some other extracurricular activity. But I know there are things that attract you. There are things that cause you to get going, that motivate you to do things every day. Now, whatever your choice is, I understand that there are things that do that. And guess what? That old man you hear preachers talking about by the name of Paul, he was a young guy one time too. And when he was young, he was trained by the best teachers who, like you, helped him to get the shortest amount of time possible. He was the best of the best. He was tops in his field. Did you ever think about your being like Saul of Tarsus? Because you want to be the best at what you do. But then there was something that happened that changed Saul's get-going direction. Look with me at Acts chapter 22. We're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Acts today. So please find your Bible. And let's go to Acts chapter 22. We get down to verse 3, and here's what we read. I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous, did you get that? Zealous toward God, as you all are all at this day. Now I persecuted this way even to death, binding and delivering. My priest does bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I also received the letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. Now it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground, and heard a great voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. All of the things which are appointed for you to do. Then Paul goes on, as we read, to explain his conversion experience, and is challenged at verse 16 to stop wasting time, but to go and to be baptized to wash away his sins. Now that's the message of Jesus Christ. Some today would say to be baptized for a variety of reasons. Some today would be carrying, if you will, the blanket. And waving the blanket when it comes to why we're baptized. We're baptized to wash away. Don't believe me? Check it out in Acts 2:38. There it is. So, what is Paul telling us? He tells us that sin washed away, calling on the name of the Lord in obedience. This amazing conversion happened because a humble, maybe fearful man named Ananias. While we're in the book of Acts, go to chapter 9. Let's go back and look at verse 10, because Ananias is commanded there. We find that there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, he answered, Here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go into the street called Straight to the house of Judas, and look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight. Folks, today too, we are commanded. Commanded of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that doesn't believe anyway will be condemned. Matthew records for us the very same kind of thing and gives us even more. Jesus spoke to them saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. He begins in verse 18. And then he says, Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then I will be with you even to the end of the world. Now, Matthew records telling, or Jesus telling them to teach others to observe whatsoever he commanded of them. And that means that charge was to them, and then they were to bring that charge to us. We too have a charge from the mighty God to get going. But like you, sometimes I find it scary. Scary about the commandments of God and those things he has for us to obey. Now, I'm sure that you're here today because that you believe that Jesus is the very Son of God. He is God and man, by the way. But one of the scariest commands that we find is that one to repent. That means we've got to make a change. We've got to do something different. We've got to prioritize differently. And as we look into the book of Acts, we see in chapter 17 and verse 30 that in the times of this ignorance God winked at, he was patient about, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And repentance is a change. It's not just a phrase on a sign that some bearded man downtown waves. It means to make a change, to fully submit to the will of God. Now, for the person who has never had his sins washed away in baptism for the remission of sins, again, that means to get up and quit making excuses and get going. Every person that has been dipped in this pool came out a better person than he was when he started. For the person who has been baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and his Christian life has slowly ground to a stop, stop pretending with God. It's time for you to repent and get going again. It's time to love again. But know, my friend, that when you do what God asks you to do, there's going to be a price to pay. The weird part is the price may not be exactly what you expect. The person who only has baptism standing between them and salvation will find that in reality, there's nothing at all to be nervous about or scared or embarrassed. As a matter of fact, soon thereafter, there will be a moment of thank you, God, for saving me. For the person who dares to do something about his or her apathy toward God, you may also be surprised at the number of tears that come from your repentance. Still, we've got to realize that fear can paralyze us incorrectly because we're expecting some sort of exposure that really doesn't happen. We look back at Acts chapter 9, we see there verse 13. Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done. He's done that to your saints at Jerusalem, and here he has the authority from the chief priest to bind everyone who calls on your name." Saul was one who was a party to Christians dying. He was a party to that. Do you remember Acts chapter 8? He was the best at smoking out those pesky Christians, to capture them, to incarcerate them, to have them killed. What is your expected exposure? If you've never been baptized for the remission of your sin, what's keeping you from doing that? What's keeping you from arising as Ananias challenged Saul, who became later called Paul, that we read of in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16? What's holding you back? Is it fear of the aisle? Fear of these aisles? Now, friend, I walk these aisles every week, and I promise you there's not a trap door anywhere. Christian friend, though, that applies to you and me too. Are you afraid that someone is looking at you? Someone's going to judge you? If you are, you're letting the devil use fear to beat you out of your salvation. I hope that someone does look. I hope the host of heaven sings praises unto the mighty God because of your decision to obey him. And if it's a fear of getting wet in front of others, I baptized many soon after the services were done and there were people gone, just a few left.
It can be done today. But what about those of you who've grown cold? What about you? You know who you are. Ananias had a good excuse, by the way. He was afraid for his life. He was afraid for his life. And for lack of a better way of expressing it, he kind of talked back to God. Have you ever felt like your work, your effort, your dedication, your love was not only unappreciated, but was mocked and pushed away? And now you hear the message of Ananias and this syndrome that I'm supposed to get going again. Are you kidding me, Jeff? I expect people to take me for granted again, and you don't know how much that hurts. No thanks, I kindly say to God with a host of polite excuses, and I share them with my brothers and sisters. Like it or not, folks, we all have expected exposure. It's also known as worry and fear. And fear motivates anger. Plenty of folks have become angry at me because I've asked them, what's holding you up from being baptized today? And then there have been plenty of others who've become angry with me because I've asked them about their choice to be distant from God, though having obeyed him in days gone by. Friend, don't shoot the messenger. The message is God's. The message is God's. I'll not carry the blanket but the message of Jesus Christ and that alone. Because, folks, I'm no better than anybody else. I fall to discouragement. I fall to fear. I fall to discouragement and expected exposure. Now I'm looking at you and saying, we are to be the children of a king. We have a promise before us, and we don't need to lie here in our excuses, but we need to get up and get going despite our expected exposure. We need to go and get the promise that God has laid before us this morning. And if nothing else, I need to be motivated because I know the promise that is laying before me. The compensation, if you will, that God has told me about that I can't even possibly imagine. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God. For if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now Ananias knew the obedience that God will bring to us. Ananias knew that ignoring God would condemn us. Ananias took God's commands seriously. Do you? We go back to Acts 9, pick up at verse 15. The Lord said to him, go. For he, speaking of Paul, is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now we need to notice some important things here. First, Ananias was told to go. Get going. Paul was a chosen vessel, if you will, that of God, to take the message of the gospel to the Gentiles and the children of Israel. He was to take the message, not a blanket, not opinion of his own, not some other doctrine, not some other dogma, but the true message of Jesus Christ. And you and I have the same charge today, that we are to carry the unchanged message of Jesus Christ to this neighborhood and beyond. The message of love, the love of Christ who wants to save us all. The message of love that overcomes hate in any form. Secondly, Paul was warned that he would suffer for his dedication. Now, we're almost done, folks, so dig with me one more time into God's Word. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Come on, let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to go down to verse 22. Be patient with me, we're almost there. Paul said, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Of Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in the journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I'm not weak? Who's offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knows that I lie not. Friend, if you need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin and apathy has made you not care anymore, you're being beaten by the devil, and God is still coming with judgment for all of humanity. Please don't forget that. If it's anger, if that's what's keeping you from obeying God, the devil is beating you mercilessly. Because you are carrying something with you that God and only God can help you be released of. If it's fear, the devil has whispered comforting things in your ear, trying to rock you to sleep so he can take you to hell with him for eternity. Today, my friend, is the day to wake up and make a change. But if you've gone cold, Christian friend, and you know who you are, and you know the look, the pew warmer look, if you will. Or maybe it's the I'm so busy look. I'm so busy with work or school or family. Or for some it would be I'm too young or I'm too new or I'm too old. Whatever it is, the message is plain. I hear the truth, but it doesn't apply to me. And then, of course, there are the once upon a timers, those who were once strong and active as Christians, but now refer to the church as them and y'all. Like the busy folks, you have the same look. I hear the message, but it doesn't apply to me. Friend, your compensation, your salvation is in jeopardy. I didn't say that because I wanted to. I didn't say it because I wanted to. Like Ananias, I really didn't want to. But as brother in Christ, I can't let us go into eternity without knowing where we stand before our God. You know, Ananias took God at his word and even obeyed. Even when he thought he was going to get hurt, physically imprisoned, physically killed. Sometimes our fear is just simply we don't want to obey because of what other people think of us. Paul took God at his word. He did suffer for his work. We read about that. But understand the retirement plan that Paul took advantage of was one that is out of this world. Amen. Now let's think about this. As we think on these things, lost,
Is there something that you haven't done to make things right with God? I don't know if we'll ever have another opportunity like this to meet, to worship before Him. Where do you stand before God this morning? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Or have you grown cold? Have you grown satisfied with the blanket and not the true message of the Savior? This morning, friend, as these voices sing together, our prayer is that you will come to Jesus as we stand and sing.